Good morning.
This is June 8, 2014. We are continuing our study of the book Consciousness Transformed, the 1963-64 Hawaii Hotel Talks by Joel Goldsmith. And in particular, we are studying the chapters which he said every student must assimilate if they would rise from the metaphysical into the mystical consciousness. And this week we are on August 31st, 1963. This was approximately 10 months before Joel made his transition into the invisible, where he works and lives today. And this is the last talk given in August. There are 8 more given in September. So we ourselves will probably finish up about August or September. Now, this is a very important chapter. It's called Growing Day by Day, Attaining the Transcendental Consciousness. But in the Beyond Words and Thoughts, it was called Truth Unveiled. And it's my feeling that at a certain point in this chapter, Lorraine did a better job in Beyond Words and Thoughts than Alan did here in Consciousness Transformed. So we will read so far, and then we're going to switch over to Beyond Words and Thoughts, which is the same material, but I believe written a little closer to what was actually said. Now, I don't believe that's always the case, but in this case I do. I love both of these editors, but I feel the material in Beyond Words and Thoughts on the second half of this chapter, or this talk, is closer to what he actually said. So, let us begin. I think the real name for this chapter should be called The Sabbath. And you will perhaps understand why I feel that way later on. So we start with this. Joel says, you cannot read the message of the infinite way with your mind, because it was not written by a mind or through a mind. This entire message is a transcendental message that came through transcendental consciousness. So to be understood, it must be understood through transcendental consciousness. And his goal here, and he admits it, is to lift, and it's actually not his goal, he was instructed to lift the students out of metaphysics into mysticism as his last act here on earth. And so he's telling you here, you must come up higher or go deeper, doesn't matter whether you go up or down, whether you go higher to a higher state of consciousness or deeper to a deeper state of consciousness. Those are just words. But the point is that you cannot understand this message he's giving you in these last months of his existence here on earth unless you lay that mind aside and approach it with spiritual discernment, which he's calling here transcendental consciousness. That's the way it was written, as were the books in the Bible. You can't help but read John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and know that he was not in a mind while he was writing that, and he was not hearing that as thoughts. He was in a transcendental consciousness, and he was receiving impartations from the Christ within. So, Joel says, therefore the words never mean what they seem to mean. And if you take them literally, you will lose the way. He says, the transcendental consciousness came through in a different form than the human mind could grasp. That's for those that wrote the Bible. Therefore, the Bible is not veiled. It's not veiled when you read it through your higher consciousness, but first you must attain that higher consciousness. And so we have a book of, we have a Bible, and we could really give that a different title. We could give it States and Stages of Consciousness Leading from the Mind to the Soul. That could be the long title to the Bible. But you cannot see anything except the literal until you attain some measure of the transcendental consciousness or spiritual discernment. Then, when you go to the Bible, you will see things that you didn't see before, and you will see exact instructions on what you need to do to go further. For instance, in 1972, I had a very deep spiritual experience, but I was prejudiced against organized religion. It had been tried to, people had tried to stuff it down my throat, is the only way I can put it. They had tried to bombard me with it and get me to, well, almost be hypnotized by it, and I couldn't do it. Something in me, when I sat in a church, I just wanted to stand up and tell the minister or the preacher to stop talking. He was scaring these people, and God had nothing to do with that. And so I was very squirmy in my seat. And eventually, I was led to surrender. And I surrendered my being, and something took over, something invisible. And I began to see there really is a God. It's not just an idea anymore, something I hear from the pulpit. It's a living experience, my experience. It's a living presence in my experience. And so after a year or year and a half of living with that presence, I decided, well, maybe after reading some of Joel Goldsmith's works, like The Art of Meditation, and practicing the presence, I thought, well, maybe there is something in the Bible for me. So I snuck downtown, and I looked in this bookstore, and in the window there was a Bible with the jean cover. And I liked that. That was pretty cool. I was into jeans. So I got that jean-covered Bible, and it had the words that Christ Jesus spoke in red, made it easier to find them. And I think 3 months later, I actually opened it up and overcame my prejudice. And one of the first things I read was, I come at a moment ye think not. That scripture. And I had always been taught that I better be on my best behavior, because I don't know when the Lord's going to show up and punish me and catch me being bad. And of course, I'm just powerless of myself. I can't do nothing. So I was not very good at trying to be good. It was pretty easy to be bad. So I didn't like that scripture, because it just made me feel even more guilty than I already felt. And that was the first scripture, one of the first scriptures I came across. And I remember I put the Bible down, I closed the Bible, I put it down, and I sat back in my chair where I like to meditate, and I closed my eyes. This was in 1973 or 4. I closed my eyes, and suddenly I saw. I come at a moment ye think not. When thought is stilled, I come. And I had had this experience, and so I knew what it was saying. It was saying, be still and know. Know from experience that I within am God. And so I saw it had nothing to do with waiting around for the God to show up and punish me. It had everything to do with becoming quiet, becoming still, and experience the I within, the Christ within, and that it was really true. I do come at a moment You'd think not. I come in the Sabbath as a Sabbath experience. And that was my very first experience with knowing that through a transcendental consciousness, through spiritual discernment, through receiving impartations, I could understand Scripture, which the mind could not. And so, he says, the Bible's not veiled when you read it through your higher consciousness, and I discovered that myself. He says, remember this, because a mystic has to reveal his message in the language of the day, this constitutes the veil. And the language of the day would be like the second chapter of Genesis, where they're discussing Lord God instead of just God. First chapter is God, and then we switch over to this being called Lord God. Well, that was the language of the day. Lord God, of course, was world mind, or universal beliefs, which created the images, universal images, and the illusion of separation and duality. Whereas God created all that was and saw that all that was good. Very good. So, you have these two creators, and the language of the day called it Lord God. And so that's how people reading that and not knowing and taking it literally saw first and second chapter of Genesis as the same God. All right, so he says, today we are going to take the letter for September 1963 and try to unveil some of the Bible passages. I have been asked many times to do this in a book, and I have refused. Why? Why did he refuse to unveil biblical passages in a book? Of course, he does it anyway. But he doesn't do it specifically in one book. And the reason is because unless it is done as I'm going to do it in a small way today, students are deprived of attaining it for themselves. Yes, they're going to read. Well, what does Joel say on that? What does Joel say on this? And they're not going to go within, as I did in my chair there, starting in 1973, and discover for themselves what the Scripture means. Because we might have, you and I might have the same Scripture, and both go into meditation on this Scripture, and it will be revealed to me one way, and it will be revealed to you in another way. And it will be exactly the truth that each of us needs individually. Very strange how that works. And not only that, but in 1973, a truth may be revealed one way, and in 80 and 90, 2000, 2014, it may be the exact same truth is revealed another way. Because it has to do with consciousness and the state of consciousness that I am living in and that you're living in. And since truth, well, what does the Christ say? I am the truth. And since truth is this I, it's eternal. It's eternal. It never dies. It never goes away. Never loses strength or life. And so truth is alive. It's alive. And when you go and enter your closet and stop trying to figure out truth with the mind and let truth reveal itself, then that live, that living truth comes forth. And of course the living truth is with power. Okay, so getting kind of off the subject here. The reason why he won't do it and put it in as a book is because everybody will then depend on him instead of finding their own. So he says, today I'm going to show you what you must do with every passage of Scripture in the infinite way and in the Bible and receive light on those passages which are not in this message. Remember this, he says, if you take these passages literally, they will lead you into a ditch. And so he says that in Oregon, they started a work, and it was for businessmen and women, and they took 6 days. They took a scripture each day, and they tried to go within and see how to live it. Now, how I might live it may be different from how you may live it, depending on our state of consciousness. But we'll get what we need if we go within and not rely on a book. Okay? That's his point. Now, if I'm a fairly new student and I'm practicing the metaphysics, then I will receive what I need from within that helps me along those lines. But you, if you're practicing mysticism, and you go within, you'll receive something else on the same truth that will be mystical in nature. You see, it's not the truth. The truth is infinite. It's the consciousness brought to the truth. So, take my word for it, he says, you really will fall into a ditch if you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Why? Because that's an outside God. Well, we should start with the scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. There's three truths there. You can take each one into your meditation and see what's revealed for you. As you're standing in transcendental consciousness, that is that place where you receive impartations, not as you're standing in the mind trying to figure it out. So he says, you really will fall into the ditch if you're trusting in some Lord out here with all your heart, because that's what the world is doing. There is no Lord to trust in except the divine consciousness, which I am. Now that's an inside God. See, the other thing is an outside God. This is an inside God. Trust the truth that God constitutes your consciousness, and your consciousness is governing your day. Now, that's true if you are letting that consciousness govern your day. If you're going within and not leaning onto your own understanding, but letting the divine consciousness impart instruction to you, and you're resting in its presence, then your consciousness, that divine consciousness, is governing your day, instead of your mind or world mind. Lean not onto thine own understanding, but turn within and let the divine consciousness within you reveal its harmonies and its grace. He shall direct thy paths. Is there a he? Is there a he? Is there a God somewhere? No. Your consciousness shall direct your paths. See, he's trying, Joel is, to lift the students into mysticism, out of the metaphysics, where there's a student here applying a truth so that God there can respond. He's trying to lift the veil, so that for all time you know there's no God out there. The only God there is the God within. The I hidden in there. And so your consciousness shall direct your path if you open out a way for that withinness to escape. He says the Bible passage was veiled as long as you thought there was an entity somewhere who was going to direct your paths. There is no Lord. There is only the I that I am. And this reminds me of Mary in standing outside the tomb and saying, where have you taken the Christ? You have taken my Lord away. This is the same experience we all have at this point. Perhaps we've relied on concepts of God and concepts of Christ, on a he, on a Lord. And it's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. You've taken my Lord away. Where is he? Now we have nothing. And yet into that nothingness, if we won't be afraid and cling, if we step off that cliff, figuratively, within ourselves, we will find there really is an invisible everlasting arms. We will find there is a Christ, and it's not the one that we had conceptualized, it's the one that we now experience. The I, that I am. Trust the self of you to be the all-knowing, all-power, all-presence, where before you were trusting in a God who does not exist. You see, we all must pass through this place. Where have you taken my Lord? And it's uncomfortable. But we said that we want to come higher, that we're ready to assimilate the truths in these talks. And so we must let go. And that's only the first day. Second day. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Again, if you do not take the word God and resolve it in your consciousness, you cannot take the next step of listening. Yes, this is veiled in the language of the day. Every word of God, as if we're going to look up into the starry heaven out here and hear some voice speak to us of some being out there, some infinite being. I was reading today online on one of the forums a very eloquent talk about what Christ is. Christ is this and Christ is that. Christ is the divine this and the divine that and the infinite eternal this and that. All very eloquent. And yet, as I read it, I could see this is putting the veil right back on Christ so that we will continue to have Christ the infinite out there. But a mind that is looking at these truths instead of a transcendental consciousness, instead of spiritual discernment, will always, always put the veil back on. Because the mind that sees too is the veil. When you stand in spiritual discernment, when you stand in oneness, you take the veil off. And people realize that they have to go within. That's the only place Christ can be found and experienced, not out here. So what does this mean, the Word of God? That's what you have to take within. What does this mean, God? What does this mean, Father? What does this mean, Christ? What does this mean, I of my being? Speak, Lord. If you do not take the word God and resolve it in your consciousness, you cannot take the next step of listening. Because the still small voice is not going to come from heaven. It is going to come from God within you. To spiritually understand this passage, you must understand that the principle of life, the substance of your life, of your peace, and your harmony, is the Word. And the Word is something that emanates from your consciousness to your conscious awareness. Do you not see how truth is veiled when you say every word of God? Unless in your true spiritual discernment you have brought God down to where God is closer than breathing. And so the Word is something that emanates from your consciousness deep within to your conscious awareness out here. And that still doesn't tell you what the Word is. You must experience the Word to be able to say, Now I know. and you will only experience it as you transcend the mind, rest back, and listen. Listen. So that God can reveal the Word. All right. So he says, God is omnipresence, whether you are making your bed in heaven or in hell. Therefore, to read this passage aright really means to live in a continuous state of receptivity to what? To the Christ within. And so this really means man shall not live by bread out here, but by every impartation received from within consciousness. You see that? So he says, live in receptivity so the still small voice can impart itself. When you understand this, you can say, I have hidden manna, and you are home. This appears outwardly as the added things, but heaven forbid that you should look to it for the added things. You must look to it only for it. And that itself is one of the hardest principles there is to live when we are in some form of difficulty. It is so very hard to go within and look and wait upon the Lord only for the Word. We want the Word so that we can have supply. We want the Word so we can have health. We want the Word so we can have companionship. And it's normal, natural way of the human mind. But the human mind must be left outside the temple. And here in the inner stillness, we must wait only upon the Word. For no reason at all. Third day, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. This statement, the way it was stated, was not truth. It had a hidden meaning. Who is thou? God? Or Christ? No. Now, how many times have we read that? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Yes, if I just remember God throughout this day. Now you have two right there in that sentence. If I just remember God. That's not what it means. It has a hidden meaning. Who is thou? Is it God? Is it Christ? If I just remember? No. You is thou. Thou is consciousness, my consciousness, the divine consciousness which God bestowed upon me in the beginning. That thou. Okay, so if my human mind is quiescent to consciousness, well, he says, if you consciously let this divine consciousness live within you and are receptive to the Word, then you will be God-governed, and of course, then you will be living the infinite way, or by the infinite, or you will be living the way of the infinite, and you are then living by grace. The fourth day, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In the Christian world, this means the peace that Jesus gives you, the peace that Jesus leaves you. What were we taught? What was it that we started with at the very beginning of these talks? We must seek the impersonal Christ and impersonal healing. And so there must be peace without a person. And so he says here, you have to unveil the truth, so when you read this passage, you will say, I, the I of me gives me peace, the I that I am, which is God, the I of my own being, and that is the impersonal Christ. I in the midst of me is my Father. I in the midst of me is Christ. You see, we are seeking not a person, not a personal Christ. We are seeking an impersonal, omnipresent I. And we make contact with it. We touch it, or it touches us, or it enfolds us, or fills us with itself, or lives us within. Let no Infinite Way student ever say, I am God. You do not say, I am God. You hear the still small voice within you say, be still and know that I am God. Then you know that I is God, and that is the I that gives peace to you and leaves peace with you. Yes, you don't think I am God. But when thinking comes to a stop, or is so quiet and slows down to the point where you can listen and be receptive to I within, then Christ will say, I am God. But that's not the same as the mind saying it. He says, God's grace is omnipresent, so go about your business, do not outline, and let truth take form. Let truth take form. And so we make this contact, we receive the word, we experience the presence within, and we go about our business. We don't have any outlines. We seek only it, not the forms. And then truth takes form. Very strange. Sit down and stand up at the same time. He says, the world has fallen into a ditch by believing that he was Jesus. This is nonsense. Well, that's pretty plain. I within you am God. As long as you look only unto me and then let it unfold. He says, come up. He's talking to you. Come up from orthodoxy and metaphysics. Come up into mysticism. Trust in omnipresence, omniscience, omnipotence. This was, again, 10 months before his passing. He was trying to complete his mission, and he did complete his mission. So, in the fifth day, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And he says, now what happens is you say to yourself, I do not know how to get quiet or be confident. What do I do? Can't pass over this. What do I do? And he says, you must turn around and say, Isaiah, your consciousness is one of the greatest in the Bible. I rank you with Jesus and Buddha. So, Isaiah, what do you mean by quietness and confidence? So it's the same thing. If you turn within yourself and ask Isaiah, or turn within yourself and ask Buddha, or turn within yourself and ask Jesus, or turn within yourself and ask John, or turn within yourself and ask self. He says, whether Isaiah hears me or not does not matter, because I know my consciousness is hearing me, and it will give the answers back to me. And what has revealed itself to me in this passage is an unknowing. And so, quietness and confidence has something to do with unknowing. In other words, he says, do not try to learn or to understand truth. Do not struggle and strive. Do whatever you have to do and forget truth. That's great. I love that. The mind goes, oh my God, no. I have to do this and I have to do that. No, no, little buddy, you don't. No, you don't. It's enough to go within, experience the release, and then forget it. He says, when you feel you must struggle for quietness, you are perpetuating unquietness. Very often, the best spiritual answer, the best spiritual prayer or treatment or meditation, is to forget all about prayer, treatment, or meditation and go about your business. And quietness and confidence really means to get away from knowing the truth with the mind for a while and be still. It is not necessary to keep your mind filled with truth, because you are then back in the mental realm. You cannot become quiet or confident, but the soul can give you quietness. It can give you confidence if you will relax from the mental exercise of knowing truth and let your soul take over. Okay, so this is very high mysticism. This is approaching that place where you do not have to know a lot of truths. When confronted with an appearance of disharmony, you are able to simply go back within yourself and smile. This is approaching mysticism, where consciousness meets truth, meets error. You don't. You stand as a witness. Consciousness meets it. It hits up against consciousness. You smile, knowing consciousness is, and it's met without words or without thoughts. This is very high mysticism he's trying to lift us into. He says, eventually you come to a place where you do realize, oh, I is God. And the word that it imparts to me is the bread, the meat, the wine, and the water. You are then entering your Sabbath. When you have attained quietness and confidence, you have entered the Sabbath. And for the sixth day he has, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And again, I'm not going to go into that in this book, because it is done so well and beyond words and thoughts. It starts here by saying, you will discover, that's still in transcendental consciousness, you will discover, as you have learned to work hard and long with the principles of the infinite way, so you must learn to stop doing this, sometimes for a day or two, and say, let me not trust in my mind, let me relax in God. He says, invite the soul. Your soul overshadows you. And so let's now go over to, again, he says here, for 6 days you have labored to train yourself and study. And the 6 days are probably many years. All right. All of that is in the chapter, Truth Unveiled, and it is done so well. When I read, and when I first read this chapter, Truth Unveiled, it just really, really lifted me. I'm not going to go into the first part, which has to do with Joel's initiation and talks about the ascension. I'm going to go from right where we left off in Consciousness Transformed. All right, so let's find it here. And here it is. See what happens on the Sabbath, on the seventh day. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. I'm just going to read this because it's so beautiful, unless something tells me to stop. I have meat to eat that ye know not of. He was telling them not to go out to get meat, but to rest in the Sabbath of I have. No words, no thoughts, no might, no power. You students who are ready for the Sabbath must prepare for it by learning to rest back in this realization. Let my soul take over instead of my mind. Then, every time you go within, something new and fresh will come forth. Yes, and it'll come forth from consciousness, not from mind. In the consciousness of Sabbath, you need not go out and get meat, for you have it. By what right? By your recognition that you and the Father are one. For 6 days you have labored to study and to train yourself. And those 6 days, remember, are for most of you many, many years. But there comes a rest to my people. There comes a Sabbath. And that is when you stop all your metaphysical struggling, all your mental struggling, relax and let grace live your life. You see how it's just subtly different from what we just read, and yet it's, I feel, much more powerful. When you come to the sixth day of your practice, just smile. I do not have to pray for anything. I already have hidden manna the world knows not of. Do you see how the teaching in the Bible is veiled and how it takes a transcendental consciousness to unveil it? The mystics did not hide it. Words hide it. Those few students, and hopefully that's all of you, those few students who have been listening and studying with the inner ear must now be entering that period of Sabbath when they can feel within themselves, I do not know any truth. I cannot live on the quotations of yesterday. The only truth I know is what is coming through today, coming through within. As far as I am concerned, I am living in the period of unknowing. There's that unknowing he was talking about. In which every day I go within to receive the manna for that day, to listen for thy voice. A person who is in the Sabbath consciousness realizes, thy grace is my sufficiency for this moment, and he is satisfied. He is resting, not only in the assurance that God's grace is his sufficiency, but that there is a sufficiency of God's grace. In that awareness of grace, now it's an awareness of an inner grace, it's not a thought about it, it's not words in a book, not words on a tape, it's an awareness. Consciousness reveals itself to your conscious awareness, and you rest in it. And in that awareness of grace, he settles into a consciousness of peace. The 6 days of struggle are over, and today he refuses to labor. Then, whatever is to come through, comes through. The truth found in the infinite way is scripture spiritually interpreted. Because of this, you can go back into your own consciousness and draw out the spiritual interpretation of the passages that come to you. The interpretation may come in a different form from what I have given you, but the principle will be the same. Now, listen to this, in case you ever wondered. The infinite way takes you through the 6 days of labor, the thinking and knowing of the truth, the searching for truth, pondering truth, meditating on truth, until you go beyond the activity of the mind or intellect. And so the infinite way is designed to take you through that until you go beyond the mind and words and thoughts to consciousness itself, to the Christ, the living Christ. Finally, you come to a place where you can rest in quietness and in confidence because you are now no longer living your own life. Every word that flows from God into your awareness becomes the bread, the wine, the water. It becomes your health, strength, vitality, and all those things that are necessary for your experience. Yes, when you are not looking, it forms itself. And now, when you say, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth, you know that consciousness is imparting itself to your conscious awareness. You are resting in a sea of spiritual consciousness, And then it appears almost magically out here as every form needed. And now you can say, consciousness is forming itself, or Christ liveth its life. You see, the words are different, the principle's the same. We are on earth but for the one reason of showing forth God's glory, not our own. It was never meant that we should glory in our wisdom, our gifts, or in our skill, but rather that we should recognize what appears to the world as these is really His. My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. All that the Father has is mine, and I am showing forth God's glory, not mine. In the message of the infinite way, I am speaking God's message, not mine. And whatever shows forth as the prosperity or success of the infinite way is what? Well, His glory, His grace. Up until this year, that's 1963, I have never spoken openly of my own spiritual experiences, my initiations, or my contacts with the infinite invisible, because I knew that in the Occident there is no preparation for an understanding of such things. But now he's trying to lift the students and all of us into mysticism. And so he says, this year, however, I have made no secret of the fact that for 8 months I have been under an inner initiation by means of which a higher unfoldment of the message has been coming through. Part of my function during this time has been to lift the infinite way message itself out of metaphysical language into mystical language, so that our students begin to live only in mystical language, even as we all are trying to live only the mystical life or mystical consciousness. And yet, not separating ourselves from the everyday business of living, because there must always be constructive activity. There must always be business. There must always be all the activities going on in the world of a human nature. But they must be lifted up into a higher consciousness. You see, if you yourself consult your mind and decide that you're really good and you have a talent for this, that, or the other, and then you go apply yourself and try to find employment, and you find employment in the field that you want to work in, and you do a fairly good job and have a salary, that's not the same as going within and having consciousness say, or having consciousness express itself, and finding yourself led through this avenue and that avenue, and then having this opportunity open up. It's not the same when you get your hands on it and the mind tries to create it. That would be the second chapter of Genesis, and we know the outcome of that. It's not very pretty. Usually we lose it. But when consciousness forms itself, and you have spirit forming itself, then whether you're in business, or whether you are in arts, or even if you're a lawyer, whatever it is, it's spirit manifests itself as your experience, and so then it glorifies God, and you can't help but succeed. And so then whatever you're doing is lifted into mystical realm. So he says, there must always be the activities that are going on in the world of a human nature, but they must be lifted up into a higher consciousness, even though some medium of exchange, such as money, may always be necessary. There can be a greater degree of love and grace in the sharing of its activity. It need not be what is called cold, hard cash. It can be warm, spiritual cash. This is written only so that you may know that in your life, in your activity, your business, your profession, you too must realize that the nature of your experience is that God may be glorified, that God may speak through you, sing through you, play through you, do business through you, but always it is God functioning through and as your individual experience, your individual being. All right, so that's enough from Beyond Words and Thoughts, Chapter 4, Truth Unveiled. Let's go back and finish up with the end of this talk from which this chapter came. You who are sufficiently along on the path of the infinite way must now begin to realize you have but one goal, the attainment of the illumined consciousness, which means the fourth dimensional consciousness or Christ consciousness. That would be a consciousness into which the light is shining, a consciousness that is receiving impartations from the infinite. Transcendental consciousness is not merely a term. It is your mind when it goes beyond itself, when something takes over. There was an absolute moment when Paul said, "I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And Joel tells us in that chapter, Truth Unveiled and Beyond Words and Thoughts, that he's going through, or he went through an initiation. And he tells us in there's an exact moment when it took over. And if you read that chapter very carefully, you can see that he went through the experience of crucifixion of self and ascension into Christ consciousness. And then he tried to lift us all up into the mystical, and leaving that record behind, he departed. And so he says here, I'm going to start again. Transcendental consciousness is not merely a term. It is your mind when it goes beyond itself, when something takes over. There was an absolute moment when Paul said, "I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me." He did not mean that metaphysicians should make this statement, because only spiritual illumination can make it come true. Let your goal be a single goal, illumination. And there will come a day when that mind which was also in Christ Jesus will not be a quotation. It is your living consciousness. This is the infinite way goal, attaining that mind which was also in Christ Jesus, attaining illumination, attaining illumined consciousness, and grace will then descend upon you, and you will live in the Sabbath. And so he invites us all to turn within and find that rest of the Sabbath. He invites us all to turn within and say, "Let me not trust in my mind, let my soul take over." He invites us all to discover that the real infinite way is an experience that happens within when the infinite becomes our way. All right, so now let us be still for a moment and see if anything else comes forth. Yes, bear in mind that these talks were given to an audience of students who traveled to Hawaii and were there to receive what he had to give. And these students, perhaps some were invited, maybe all were invited, I don't know. But they were advanced students, and they were ready to be lifted out of the metaphysics and into the mystical, where consciousness could meet the appearance of error instead of mind or metaphysics. And so they were prepared for that experience. Now, if you are not prepared for that experience, and this is very uncomfortable for you, and you can't seem to get a grip on it, and you have been working diligently with the principles, the metaphysics of the message, and applying them, and that's where you feel comfortable, then that's where you should remain until something says, hey, come on up higher. But for those of you who are prepared and have been passing through the 6 days of labor, which has taken many, many years, and now you're ready for the Sabbath, you can feel it inside yourself. You know there's a step to take. Then for you, you won't be frightened when he says sometimes you have to forget truth and just go about your business. He doesn't mean that you're not dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. He means you're forgetting knowing truth with the mind. You're still having these periods, 20 or 30 a day, where for a minute or two you're turning within, resting back, and receiving impartations. But none of this is an experience of the mind. And so it doesn't scare you when he says sometimes you just have to forget knowing truth and go about your business. I can have a moment of silence and not know anything with the mind, feel that presence, and go about my business. I do that a lot when I'm driving down the street. It's kind of hard to close your eyes and meditate when you're driving down the street. The two do not go very well together. But you can forget knowing truth. Go ahead and put on your turn signal and make the turn. Watch for oncoming traffic and anybody in the crosswalk. And at the same time, have that inner door open. Not knowing truth, but being receptive. And that's what Joel tells us, and I believe it's the art of meditation. Eventually we get to the place where we are always receptive. There's a part of our consciousness that's listening no matter what we do. And I told you of the experience I had the first time I discovered this. It was a little while, I think it was 1975. It could have been later, but I went to the movies. I took my young son, he was 8, to the movies, and we saw Star Wars. And I was really enjoying the movie, and George Lucas's C-3PO and R2-D2 and all that, and Han Solo and Chewbacca and all that. I was really enjoying the show, and all of a sudden I felt the presence, and I pulled back within myself immediately, and I saw that I was totally absorbed, my mind was totally absorbed in the movie, and yet consciousness inside was silently praying and receptive, and the presence moved through consciousness, even though the outer mind was watching the movie. It was really fabulous to discover that there really was a way to pray without ceasing and not involve the mind. Of course, over the years, I've had to have many reminders because the mind wants to come back and take charge. So my people are peculiar people. We're learning to live, and we don't eliminate the mind, but we are learning to live with consciousness as the source of our being. And we are learning to do what Joel said. The proper use of the mind is an avenue of awareness, a conscious awareness of consciousness imparting itself. And so that's what we're learning to do, no matter where we are. And I tell you, I've felt that presence and done that in every experience. Every experience. So I know it's possible to do anywhere at any time, no matter what you're doing physically. Well, I will say this, all of you peculiar people, I love you. And I'm peculiar too, so we are of one consciousness. And that is the house of Christ. Thank you.